This week, the U.S. government earmarked $142 million more to combat Ebola in West Africa, adding to the $400 million pledged already. The funding increase is the latest effort made by the U.S. government to try and contain the disease that's already killed over 4,000 people. That's according to the World Health Organization, which has also reported almost 9,000 cases of the virus have been confirmed since the outbreak began 6 months ago. The Ebola virus was the focus of a hearing Thursday of a House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee. Democratic Representative Diana DeGette of Colorado said the best way to curb the spread of Ebola is to stop it in Africa.
CDC predicts that up to 1.4 million West Africans could be affected with Ebola. Many more will die from treatable illnesses due to the collapse of these countries' public health infrastructure. This is a humanitarian crisis, and we have a moral imperative to help in West Africa.
Top U.S. health officials agree. Here's Tom Frieden, director of the Centers for Disease Control.
One of the things I fear about Ebola is that it could spread more widely in Africa. If this were to happen, it could become a threat to our health system and the health care we give for a long time to come.
Last month, the Department of Defense said it is prepared to devote more than $1 billion on the response effort and has also sent around 600 troops to affected countries in West Africa with the stated goal of training health care workers and building treatment facilities. But the government isn't the only one sending money, personnel, and training resources from the U.S. to Africa. Many aid groups and nonprofits have also been involved in the effort to combat Ebola. Catholic Relief Services, a nonprofit in Baltimore, Maryland, has staff in all three of the seriously Ebola-affected countries, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, working with communities to get the word out about Ebola transmission and prevention. Suzanne Van Hull, the group's senior technical advisor for malaria, says seeking treatment for early warning symptoms is key.
I think also we are really re-emphasizing early care seeking. So if anybody has any kind of symptoms, not necessarily before the fever hits, but, you know, if they're feeling a little bit sick or sore throat or they're feeling perhaps aches in their muscles, that they directly call up the numbers.
Van Hull also echoes a frequent criticism that the international community should have done more to contain the outbreak in its early stages rather than react after it had reached epidemic proportions.
You know, we could have done more. I don't think it's really the best use of our time. I think now we need to go forward and really invest in putting the maximum amount of efforts and in terms of appropriating the amount of funds.
Numbers from the United Nations say the international community has either contributed or pledged overall $818 million in aid to fight Ebola. The U.S. has contributed the most. However, the U.N. has estimated it would take almost $1 billion over the next 6 months to mount a resistance to Ebola in West Africa. Speaking at a forum held at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland earlier this week, Joshua Michaud, Associate Director of Global Health Policy at the Kaiser Family Foundation, said the epidemic is teaching the international community some important lessons about governance and financial response to infectious disease outbreaks.
The theme that has been emerging over the past several months in relation to Ebola has been that the international community has done too little, too late, and has been poorly coordinated as it's approached this.
Michaud said even though the international health regulations were just revamped in 2005 to bolster the development of public health capacities in countries around the world, the ball has been dropped. He said there is no substitute for making sure every country has the capacity to detect and respond to emerging infectious diseases.
Therefore, any country without that capacity becomes a weak link for its neighbors and perhaps even for the entire globe. And finally, underfunding global institutions leads to underwhelming results in a time of need.
Additionally, government funding for scientific institutes has also come under fire. Last week, National Institutes of Health Director Francis Collins told the Huffington Post that they have been working on an Ebola vaccine since 2001, and quote, "We probably would have had a vaccine in time for this," end quote, if spending for all research items hadn't stagnated over the last decade. In the coming weeks, U.S. officials say they plan to, among other things, scale up troop presence in West Africa and establish training programs in the U.S. for licensed healthcare professionals who want to work in West Africa. While many members of Congress are calling for a temporary travel ban from the affected African countries, that idea has yet to gain much traction with officials. While the vast majority of Ebola cases have been confirmed in Africa, the man with the first confirmed Ebola case diagnosed in the U.S. died earlier this week in Dallas, Texas. Two healthcare workers who treated the man have since been diagnosed with the disease. One has been moved to Emory University in Atlanta, while the other is scheduled to be transferred Thursday night to the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. Ashley Westerman, FSRN, Washington, D.C.